Hope you've had a great week. I would like you to turn with me to John. We're going to journey through John for quite a while. I'm really enjoying it at the moment. And last week we spoke about John chapter 9. So if you want to turn with me to John chapter 10, that'll be great. So last week when I preached on John chapter 9, we spoke about Jesus giving sight to the blind man. And towards the end of chapter 9, the Pharisees question this and question it quite severely. And Jesus answers their question towards the end of chapter 9. I'm just going to read the last two verses for us. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." And so based on that, Jesus paints the picture for us in the beginning of John chapter 10. Now, in order for us also to understand something, when John wrote this gospel right in the beginning, we didn't have any chapters or verses. It was just one long gospel. So there's no bridge between John 9 and 10. It's actually just one long story. And so Jesus paints this picture, and we're going to look at this picture with a bit of intent tonight. So John chapter 10, verse 1 to 6. And I would really like to encourage you to have your Bible nearby, because I'm going to ask you what you see in this picture. And if you don't have a Bible, I just hope you have a really good memory. John chapter 10, verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of his sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to him. So now I'm kind of putting you on the spot tonight. What do you see in that picture? That figure of speech, the first five verses. Is there anybody out there? What do you see? We can just like look at it at face value. In verse 1, we see a man. We see a sheepfold or a pen. We see a door. We see someone climbing in another way, and Jesus labels that man a thief or a robber. What do you see in verse 2? A good shepherd that enters through the door with his sheep. Verse 3, the gatekeeper. Verse 4, once again the shepherd who goes out and goes before them, and the sheep follow him for they know his voice. And then in verse 5, we see the stranger who the sheep don't want to follow. Now, when we look at this picture, just like the Pharisees when they heard it the first time, it's quite difficult to grasp things. But the Pharisees were learned men. They were supposed to see the bigger picture, because they claimed at the end of chapter 9 that they can see. So Jesus is like, "Come on, what do you see?" And they don't see anything. I would like to help us tonight by stating that this is a gospel picture. The pen, I think, refers to a safe environment where sheep are protected from danger, from wolves, from storms. And I believe this refers to the original creation, the Garden of Eden, where we lived in a place of intimate relationship with God, where we can hide under the shadow of His wings, where all our needs are catered for, especially during the night. In verse 1, we also see the gate, or the door, which I think is Jesus, although it doesn't state this in the picture right now. But in verse 6, Jesus says, I am the door. And then in verse 1, we also see the ones who are trying to climb into the sheep's pen, into that original relationship order. I think they're the Pharisees, and Jesus refers to them a bit later on. But they're also anyone who tries to gain an intimate relationship with God by any other means except faith in Christ. Where through works we are trying to build our own ladders into the sheep's pen. With little steps of baptisms and feeding the hungry and clothing the weak and. Matthew 7 speaks of this, where Jesus says to us that you have done all these things in my name, but I never knew you. Get away from me, you unfaithful servants. In verse 2, we see a person who leads people to God through the gate, through the door. He is the good shepherd of the people. He is the good Pharisee. He is Nathaniel. He is the kind of guy like Elijah and Moses who faithfully guided people into an intimate relationship with God. They are the ones inside the pen that God will not push out and throw away. And in verse 3, I'm just going through this slowly and just now I'm going to unpack it all and you're going to go, ta-da! But in verse 3, there's a gatekeeper, a watchman, an owner of the pen. And I think this is God, the creator of all things. And I want us to kind of jump back to the creation story and imagine the first two sheep God ever created. Yes, in this text, God refers to us, people, as sheep. So it's okay to be called a chop. That joke worked. At the creation story, God creates two chops. And they live in union with Him. And all their needs are catered for. They can go around the garden. They can go check out the trees. And everything is okay. Because there's intimacy with the Father. But then they decided that life outside of the pen, life outside of the sheepfold must be better. So the saying, there are greener pastures on the other side, started in the creation story. Probably not like true, but must have. Because here Adam and Eve go and look for greener pastures outside of God's protection, outside of His guidance. And then they go and they get kicked out of the pen. And isn't it amazing that the God, this creator, this gatekeeper, sees this happening and puts the plan in place. And throughout the Old Testament, we have good shepherds who lead God's people back through the gate, back into intimate relationship with God. And there are a few that we can name. Enoch's one of them. But Israel find themselves, and we often find ourselves wandering outside for a very, very long time without a shepherd. And this is where this little figure of speech becomes amazing. Where if we have that kind of background, that the original creation, that original sheepfold, where sheep broke out and rebelled against God, in John 10, Jesus paints this figure of speech, this picture, and it's all linked with creation. Where the gatekeeper, God, loves you and I so much that for every sheep that would believe in Him, they will not perish but have eternal life. They will be able to enter back into relationship with God. Oh friends, we can, just like so many people who have gone before us, go out into the greener pastures and gather up grass and find some water and gather up grass and find some water and trying to gather up things so that we can buy our way back in to the sheepfold. And friends, if you try that, your whole life will just become fertilizer. Because you won't get in. You can try and jump over the walls, but you'll be drop-kicked back out. In this picture. And the Pharisees didn't get this. So hopefully tonight you get this. In this picture, the Creator, the gatekeeper, gives authority to the gate to open it. Isn't that amazing? Do you get that? That God, the Father, sends His Son down to earth to come and live your life and die for you and therefore pay your entrance fee into the sheep's pen. Jesus Christ died for you because when we got kicked out of the sheep's fold, out of that intimate space and that intimate relationship with God, there was a price put on our heads. And Jesus paid that price when He died for us all on the cross of Calvary. And a lot of people struggle with this because if you're looking at that picture, a lot of people struggle because how can Jesus Christ be two things? How can He be the gate that allows us back into a relationship with God? But how can He also be the good shepherd that goes out into the pastures and goes and finds us? Revelation 3:20 is Jesus standing at the door of your heart knocking. That's Him going out into your world, into the life where you live daily, and Him going, "Hey, John, Mark, Gavin, where are you?" Remember back in the creation story? That's the first thing God did, is He called Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" And Jesus, the good shepherd, is allowed out of the pen, out of that intimate space with God, to go into the world and come and call us from where we are into God's pen. But the only way you and I can get inside the pen is if someone paid the price for us to get in. And Jesus paid that price. Jesus Christ died on the cross and played that role for all of us. But then He died and rose again from the grave to go walk outside. And I know it's hard to get your head around because it just doesn't make sense. How can one person do two things? Our God is that amazing. That He could die on the cross for our sins, be buried, and stay inside a tomb for 3 days, but be raised up by the gatekeeper to go out and gather His flock. Gather those who know His voice, and take them back to the gatekeeper. Back inside where you and I can be protected and nourished and cared for by the Creator Himself. Isn't it amazing that we can do that? And that Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, leads us back in. So that you and I can live our everyday lives knowing that we have the arms of God surrounding us in everything that we do. But there's a little clause. For those who hear His voice, He goes out, Jesus goes out and leads them back into the world. Because if Jesus just died for a handful, He would have gone out into the world, called a handful, brought them back to the Father, and the end. But it wasn't the end. Not in this story. Where the Good Shepherd takes those who knows His voice, takes them back into the pastures, back into the field, so that you and I, with the Good Shepherd, can go and find the sheep that are entrapped in their everyday lives, where they are trying to gather up these massive hay bales. Have you driven past them? They look funny. But imagine someone trapped inside of that, and Jesus leads you to go and find somebody completely entrapped in greed and money. And just hoarding up stuff to try and go, but hey God, look, I got all this stuff and I gave so much of this stuff away. Can't I get into heaven? Can't I get into that intimate place with you? And Jesus whispers to that sheep, you've missed it. This is not what life is all about. Come back inside. Let me teach you inside the sheep's fold the truth about this world, the truth about your life and what I have designed you to do. And then together, let's go out and spread the good news that we have entrance into the sheep's fold through the death of Christ. But we are not alone in this life. Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And know this, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He cannot make that claim if it's not true. If He leaves us as redeemed sheep to just carry on with our daily lives, that's not the case. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is risen to live every day with you and I. To shine in this world where we do gather up some stuff and build some homes and have children and. But wouldn't your life mean so much more if you were led by the Good Shepherd? If you were listening to His voice when you were bringing up your children, when you are bringing up your children, when you're making that career decision, when you're deciding to buy or not buy that house, that car, study that degree, finish school well, wouldn't it be amazing? And so friends, tonight, do you relate with the story? Do you understand the gospel through this figure of speech that Jesus used? Can you see past the blindness of the Pharisees and see the wonder and the awe of the Creator who loves you, created you for a purpose, redeemed you, and set you free to go and live this life and glorify the name of the gatekeeper? Wouldn't you want the kind of life where you can run into the arms of God and ask Him for guidance as you tackle this world? Because let's face it, this world is very close to hell. Only in hell do children starve to death. Only in hell are women raped. Only in hell do they break in and steal. In heaven, in the sheep's fold, in God's protection, that doesn't happen. But you and I live in this world very close to hell. Wouldn't you rather want to live here with the divine hand of the gatekeeper guiding you, with the good shepherd walking next to you, that when those bad things happen, that you've got someone right next to you that you can go and talk to, that you can shout at and ask, what on earth is going on? Friends, tonight hear the voice of the gatekeeper calling you, of the good shepherd leading you into the sheep's pen. And inside the sheep's pen, may God teach you everything you need to know in order to go back into this world and glorify His name and reveal this figure of speech in your everyday life to everybody around you. That God the Creator created this awesome place where we can live in intimacy with Him. We decided to rebel against that space, that awesome sheep's fold. We left it, yet God, in His divine grace, came and found us and told us the good news that His Son died for our sins and opened the door for us to enter back into a relationship with Him. But He didn't just leave us there. His Son rose from the grave to become our partners, to become our good shepherd in this life, and lead all people back to Him. Hear the voice of God calling you tonight, either back into the sheep's pen or calling you out with Him, leading you out with Him into this world to make a difference and change this world very close to hell to a world very close to heaven. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your creative writing. When you use figure of speech to try and guide us and reveal your divine plan and your divine love to us. And we just pray, Lord, that tonight, for every single person sitting here, that they were able to hear your voice calling them, wherever they are, whether they have lived in the world, not aware of your Son's sacrifice on the cross for them, or for some of us where we are sitting inside the pen, just hearing the Word of God preached at us, yet we're not going out into the world with the guidance of Christ and changing this world and making it a better place. Lord, whoever we are tonight, help us to hear your voice calling us, leading us into intimacy with you. So we pray that your voice will become clear. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray.